Our promise of comfort and forgiveness this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Ephesians 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will reach their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. God's will for life this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, to 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, these are the words of God. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's go to the Lord now in prayer and ask the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you please pray with me? We give thanks to you, Yahweh. We call upon your name. We pray you'd make known your deeds among the peoples, for we sing praises to you. We speak to all your wonders. We glory in your name. Let those who speak you be glad, O Lord. You are Yahweh our God. Your judgments are in all the earth. Remember your covenant forever, the word which you commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Israel, an everlasting covenant. You perform mighty deeds in redeeming our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the bondage of slavery. You brought them through the wilderness into the promised land. You brought forth your people with joy, your chosen ones with a joyful shout. And you have given us the lands of the nations that we might take possession of the fruit of the people's labor, so that we might keep your statutes and observe your laws. We praise you, Yahweh. Remember your covenant people. Keep us in your faithfulness. Glorify yourself in creation and your people. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us stand together and sing with joy hymn number 12, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Our sermon text this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. Romans 8, 1 through 25, brothers and sisters, the word of the true and living God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of His holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Holy Scripture, God shows a great interest in the well-being of certain groups of people. And He commands His covenant people to care for specifically orphans, widows, and sojourners. One example, Deuteronomy 10, verse 18. God defends the cause of the fatherless or orphan and the widow and loves the alien or sojourner, giving him food and clothing. He defends the cause of the orphan, the widow, and loves the sojourner. Now, God's reasons for this need may seem simple and straightforward. These are people who especially need care. Now, God blesses His covenant people with His grace, and His people respond to that grace by faith to care for those who are in need. But there's more to it than that. Consider who these people are, these three groups. Well, who is a widow? A widow is a woman whose husband is dead. A sojourner is someone without a home living in a foreign land. And an orphan is someone without parents. Now, these are not three random people God chose to show grace. These are three types of people to whom the Lord extends His covenant love. The widow, the sojourner, and the orphan. Continue in Deuteronomy 10, verse 19, to Israel. You are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. So Lord God says to Israel, you are my people. You are to care for the sojourner. You are to care for the alien because you too were sojourners and aliens in Egypt. This is very similar to when we pray the Lord's Prayer. We say, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You were sojourners. You were aliens in a foreign land. Now, when you encounter aliens, when you encounter sojourners in your land, you care for them. You've experienced the grace. Now you give them the grace. The widow. God's people. You are to care for the widow because you are God's bride. You are God's covenant bride. And your bridegroom died too. You care for widows because, in a sense, you are a widow. Now, in the Bible, orphans are literally, you hear this in the text, are literally fatherless. Orphans are fatherless. They are without a father. So God's people show love and care for those without parents. And we can hear God extending His covenant grace for His people all the way back to creation. In Genesis 1, a passage with which you're very familiar, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. The Trinitarian God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, said, let us make human beings in our image. And in that creation act, God made humanity to be a son. God made human beings to be His children. And God made humanity, His covenant people, to be His bride. A bride for the Son of God. And thirdly, God is Spirit to mankind, and the Spirit is the bond of relationship, of true fellowship with God and with one another. So in creation, we see this Trinitarian love being extended to humanity. You'll be God's children. You'll be God's bride. You'll be in relationship with God. In creation before the fall, God was with his people. His people were with God. And God would come to Adam in the garden to walk with him. This was to be a divine blessing for all humanity to enjoy. Tragically, our father Adam forsook these blessings. He listened to the serpent, and he plunged the human race, those made in God's image, he plunged the human race into sin. And the human race was forbidden to come into the presence of God. The human race lost that divine fellowship with the Trinity. In sin, humanity became the faithless bride to the divine bridegroom. Adam was the first disobedient child to the Father. And this is the state for all humanity in sin. We all come into the world born in sin. The divine relationships that we are to have with God as human beings, they're all broken. They're all severed. Yes, we have a covenant father in our birth, Adam. But in sin, we all have fallen short of the glorious reality of the covenant relationship with God. In Adam, we're all estranged. We're all severed from God. Yes, he is our true father because he makes us. But apart from God, we are all orphans. Sin makes us all orphans. Though made in his image, every human being is born in sin and rebellion. Though we're still humans, we're outside God's covenant family. And we were made for family. God made us to be in covenant relationship, a family with God. And this is a created, felt need that we all have. All human beings have within us in creation a need for family. And it's only by the grace of God that we're brought back to the Father. We are brought back into his covenant family. Yes, we are all orphans in sin, but by his divine love and mercy, God the Father adopts us into his family. All redeemed people are brought back into the family. All redeemed people have received the spirit of adoption to cry out to our Father in heaven. That's all of us. We're all children of God in Christ. We've been set free from sin. We no longer fear condemnation. We're no longer hostile toward God. That's all of grace. You've been adopted. All of you. And now in response to his grace, we have the opportunity to live by faith. We have the privilege to minister to and care for other sojourners. We have the privilege to minister to other widows. Those who are apart from Christ. Our bridegroom rose from the dead. He's no longer dead. But those outside the covenant have no husband, have no father. We are made anew in Jesus to image God, to image the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are privileged to minister to others who are estranged, those who are severed from God due to sin. And we respond with joy to the grace that he's shown us. And we image that grace to others. Let's pause there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Okay, Cast your eyes on me. Cast your eyes. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord be with you.
The Lord be with you.
I'm going to read a little bit from the Bible, and when you recognize the story that's being told, I want you to raise your hand. Because I want you to tell me what's happening here, okay? This is from Psalm 105. Then Israel entered Egypt. Jacob lived as an alien in the land of Ham. Yahweh made his people very fruitful. He made them too numerous for his foes, for their foes, whose hearts he turned to hate his people, to conspire against his servant. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his miraculous signs among them, his wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. He turned their waters into blood, causing their fish to die. Their land teemed with frogs. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. Raise your hand if you recognize what's being described there. Paige, what's being described there? What's that?
Plagues.
Okay, very good. Anyone want to add anything to that, Samson?
Well, like, the frogs.
The frogs? Where did that happen?
Like, in Egypt.
In Egypt. Oh, hi. Evan, you want to add to that?
It's in Exodus.
Exodus, very good. What's being described there in Psalm 105 is Israel in Exodus, or in Egypt, where there'll be exodus out of Egypt and go to the land of Canaan. If you read Psalm 105, it's a good psalm. Hey, can you guys sit still, please? Stay there. Thank you. Israel was saved out of Egypt. That's what's being described there. Okay? And if you read some psalms, Israel sings about their coming out of Egypt. Now show me with your thumbs. Did Israel think that was a really big deal coming out of Egypt, or it wasn't that big a deal? It was a really big deal, because God saved his people out of Egypt. And his people said, we were saved out of Egypt. So if you were to ask an Israelite, when were you saved? Who can raise their hand and tell us, what do you think an Israelite would say? When were you saved, Israelite? Savannah? When God brought us out of Egypt. Okay? Now I want you kids to tell me, raise your hand if you can tell me, when were you saved? Caleb? Very good, Caleb. When Jesus died on the cross. See, Israel thought back, they look back to their salvation coming out of Egypt. Christians, when do we remember our salvation? Caleb? When Jesus died on the cross. Okay? You guys saw a baptism day with five kids. In that baptism, Pastor Jonas said, your sins are forgiven. When were our sins forgiven?
When we get baptized.
When you get baptized, because we remember what happened.
Like,
when Jesus
died on the cross.
Very good. When Jesus died on the cross. That's what we remember. And we live for Jesus all the days of our lives. We have good days. And what else do we have? We have bad days. But when were we saved?
When Jesus died on the cross.
Very good. Joshua, when were you saved? Very good. Noah, when were you saved? Very good. When were you saved, kids?
When Jesus died on the cross.
Very good. That's what we remember. That's when God saved us, when Jesus died for our sins on the cross. Okay, so let's pray and thank God for that. Can you fold your hands? Close your eyes. And you can repeat my words. Father in heaven, thank you for your love in sending your Son to die for our sins. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to respond to your grace by faith. In loving you and loving our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos, you get back to your seats. Good job. brothers and sisters, our adoption as children of God. It's interesting that God uses that word, children of God, is restored in the grace the Father has shown us in His Son Jesus. We no longer grieve as a widow for her deceased husband. Our bridegroom conquered the grave. Jesus, our husband, lives. We have the solution to the broken relationships of life due to sin. The Spirit of God brings reconciliation. We can be restored as brothers and sisters. We can be reconciled to our neighbors. Most importantly, we're brought back into divine relationship with God because of the Holy Spirit. Yet widows and sojourners still live in this world. Reminders of the fallenness of this world due to sin. We look forward to the full consummation of all things when Jesus is united to His bride, the New Jerusalem, and there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain anymore. Memorial Day weekend is a reminder of this situation. And even today, we can see the nations being brought together in relationship due to the gospel ministry of the Holy Spirit. People, for fleshly reasons, would be estranged, sojourners regarding each other, but are brought back together. Can call each other brothers and sisters in Christ because of the work of the Spirit in restoring relationships. And Christians, we minister to the orphans with hope. We know God's brought us back into His family. We know we can cry out, Abba, Father, because of the work of Jesus Christ. He is our elder brother. Our family is the church spread throughout the world. We are carrying out the Great Commission for the salvation of the nations. We are bringing more and more orphans, those made orphans due to sin, brought back into the family by grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. God is working through His church to carry out His original design for creation. We are carrying out the Great Commission as the church. And the Great Commission is to disciple the nations, the grace of Jesus Christ to all nations. And we teach those formerly orphans, now children of God, we teach them by Father, Son, Spirit. We bring the orphans back to the Father. We baptize them. We unite the orphans to the Son in baptism. And as the waters pour from above, the Spirit hovers over each person in this new creation. And the Father declares the orphan is now His child. Once an orphan, now a son of God. Adoption through baptism. And this is what happened today. The Father, through His gracious providence, brought five children from the kingdom of darkness, orphans in sin, into the kingdom of His marvelous light. And He united them to Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection. He saved them. They're no longer in the world in darkness and death. They're no longer enslaved to the devil. They're no longer slaves to sin. They are marked with the name of the triune God across their foreheads. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They belong to God to live by faith and to love God and keep His commandments. And God has promised them His Holy Spirit. He's promised to never leave them nor forsake them. This is what happened in their baptism today. And this happened in your baptisms too. You were orphans. You were sinfully estranged to God the Father. Your sin required His grace in sending His Son. And this weighty reality, Christians, children of God, drives us to faithful response. Such grace that we be called children of God. No longer orphans in sin, cleansed in the new creation waters from above. To cry out, Abba, Father. All the blessings are ours in Jesus Christ. Living in hope with no fear of condemnation. And as children of God, we follow our elder brother, Jesus Christ, to love, to serve those who don't know of the adoptive grace of God. Hamlin, why have you loved and served these children? Because you were once orphans too. Why will you continue to put yourselves out to love and serve? Because you are children of God. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, rejoice in the adoptive grace of God. Rejoice that Jesus brings you back to the Father. Enjoy the covenant blessings of divine fellowship with God. And respond in faith. And see how else the ministry to the sojourners, the widows, and the orphans can continue in the work of the church. We got 5 out of the kingdom of darkness. There are more out there. How is the church still going to minister to them? Continue to serve. For Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray.